this is BJ, and I would like to welcome you to our show, Just Stuff. This show is about ordinary people just like you, just like me, combining our efforts in a positive way to make our community better, one day at a time, through conversation, encouragement, resources, empowerment, and just plain talk. Remember, you are the best part of this show. Hello, everybody. This is BJ with Just Stuff. And today we will be discussing Alzheimer's disease. And I call Alzheimer's disease an enemy of the mind because the mind is affected in a way that it causes debilitation. And my guests today are
Heather Medeiros, Program Coordinator.
And
Carolyn Tillman, Development Manager for Alzheimer's Association.
And they will be enlightening us on the subject of Alzheimer's disease because there are so many who do not understand the disease. And knowing the difference, knowing how to help people with Alzheimer's or dementia will be an enlightening thing. So we're going to explore this topic. And one of the things I'd like to know is the difference between Alzheimer's and dementia. Because most people think, you know, and I used to think too, that Alzheimer's and dementia were one and the same.
So they almost are one and the same. Dementia is the umbrella term for the decline in the cognitive ability. Alzheimer's is just a more progressive form of dementia. There are many different types of dementia, but when you have Alzheimer's, it's at a more progressive and fatal rate. It's kind of like saying you have cancer, but then when you get specific with it, you may be breast cancer or prostate cancer. So it would be the same correlation for dementia and Alzheimer's.
Okay. What is Alzheimer's?
So Alzheimer's is a cognitive disease that results in a protein buildup in the brain, and this buildup will result in loss of brain tissue and nerve cells. And with this loss of brain tissue and nerve cells, what will happen is your brain will start shrinking, and the signals that are transmitted between nerve connections can no longer be transmitted. So that will be why you will see a cognitive decline in either thinking or behavior or memory.
What does cognitive entail?
So cognitive is anything that affects the brain.
Okay. So the memory, the knowing, the reasoning,
yes,
all of those things are affected.
Yes. From being able to rationalize, mm-hmm, between what's right and wrong, or mm-hmm, being able to recognize in who your spouse or your child is, also to behaviors that can sometimes revert back to childlike behavior. When you think about losing this important part of your brain, what it'll really do is it's just taking away those nerve connections that you've established throughout your entire life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is Alzheimer's treatable or preventable?
So Alzheimer's is not preventable at this time. However, we do have medications out there that can help treat the symptoms of Alzheimer's, not necessarily treating the progression, but treating the symptoms. So even though you are taking these medications, whether it's an ACE inhibitor, you are still having more of the brain, the tissue and nerve cell loss.
Right.
The medication's just treating the symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
We are very hopeful that within the next few years, we will have a more treatable or preventative medication. We have tons of clinical studies and clinical trials that go on behind the scenes that sometimes never make it to the forefront. Mm-hmm. But our research team has been communicating with us that over the next few years, there is a lot of hope.
Okay, now, what are some of the causes of this disease? I know that you said that it's a neurodegenerative disease and you have a decline in the nervous system. So is that the overall cause?
So The overall cause is going to be the buildup in the brain.
Okay.
Kind of like how you have will have a buildup in your heart.
Okay.
Now, what can cause the buildup in the brain can be anything from age to genetics to lifestyle factors, as well as other diseases like diabetes or a vascular disease. So in the same way that things can build up in your heart or affect how your other organs function, mm-hmm. it can also affect how there's protein build up in the brain.
Okay. That's interesting. What are some of the signs and symptoms?
Some of the signs and symptoms are confusion with time or place.
Mm-hmm.
And just spatial relationships. Also, memory that disrupt your daily life. Like, every day I go to I wash my clothes every day. Then all of a sudden, I'm not washing my clothing, I'm not taking a bath, I'm not brushing my teeth,
mm-hmm.
and simple things like that. And then other things are, if you want to be around your family, you're withdrawn. You don't want to be, you don't want to have any social activities. You don't want to do anything. You don't want to meet with your bridge buddies. You don't want to go to church. It's just the things that sometimes you may look at it as, well, maybe she's just not feeling good, today.
Mm-hmm.
But when it becomes constant, those are the things that we need to start paying more attention to.
Mm-hmm. Is Alzheimer's hereditary?
It's not hereditary, but there is genetic testing.
Mm-hmm.
Just if you do the genetic testing, you can have the gene, but just because you have the gene doesn't mean you'll get the disease.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a genetic testing that can be done. And the one of the things I would ask myself is, do I really want to know if I have a gene for this disease?
Absolutely.
Because we can look at what Angelina Jolie did when she found out that she had the gene for breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
She went and had a double,
mastectomy.
Mm-hmm. So therefore, do I really want to know if this is going to happen to me? Because every day I'm going to be doing what? I'm going to be living
worry.
In the fear
mm-hmm.
and worry that, am I going to get this disease now? I'm in my 40s. And I don't, I'm walking around worrying about something that I really, shouldn't be worried about.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be a good and bad thing when it comes to the genetic, mm-hmm. testing. It just depends.
Absolutely. Now, you mentioned genetic testing. Is that the test that's done to check for, that's genetic, but to test for Alzheimer's, is there a test that can be done?
There is more of a cognitive test that they do and not a something that's like blood work or anything like that. No,
okay.
It's more of a memory test.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Would you both agree that this is one of the most debilitating memory diseases there is?
Yes.
Definitely.
Yes, because one day I go to see mom. Mom knows who I am. I could go see mom next week and she'd be like, I don't know you. And then that puts you at risk and them too, because at that point they're thinking there's a stranger in my house.
Mm-hmm.
And they go into what? They go into defense, defense mode.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very debilitating brain disease. And with there being no cure, that's what's so hard.
Mm-hmm.
Because like I tell people, you can recover from, you can go to remission with cancer. You can't go in, you don't go into remission with Alzheimer's disease. It just goes from early stages down to the late stages from, bad, to worse. So it's a real bad disease.
What about the people who realize that they have Alzheimer's? Do you have people like that realize they have Alzheimer's, they have been diagnosed, but they live with it and they know that they can't do anything about it?
Yes. At our summit, we have a summit every year, and we have some of our guests they're living with Alzheimer's disease.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do is they realize that they have this disease, but they don't live in fear. They know that, I have to live and I have to take one day at a time and just make the best of the time and the memory that I have
mm-hmm.
now. Because I do know one day I'm going to forget who my husband is, who my children are. But for the time being, I'm living it. They living in the now.
And that also kind of brings up an important topic of early detection. And in order to detect this disease early, you have to be aware of your cognitive ability. Knowing what I can do each day, I know that I can read probably 400 pages in a book. If I start noticing that I can't keep track of the storyline in a book and I do nothing about it, or I don't say anything because I'm too afraid of what it means once I vocalize it, that is only hurting myself. So the best way to tackle this disease, and like Carolyn said about how these people are living with this disease not in fear, is because they've kind of taken control of it, whether it be in the early stages or early to mid stages. They've admitted to themselves what they have, and they have spoke with their physicians about the proper way to manage this disease. You can live with Alzheimer's for up to 8 years. You can live with dementia for up to 20 years. So most people will feel like admitting that you have Alzheimer's or dementia kind of is like admitting to a death sentence, but it's not. You can take control of this as long as you have the ability to be open and honest with what this disease really means for your life.
I think that would take a really strong person. Someone that's not living in denial.
A strong person.
Not afraid to face.
And a strong support system.
Yeah.
Because that's important, a support system.
I agree. Now, is the outlook, and we've sort of touched that subject in previous conversation, the outlook for Alzheimer's patients, is it ominous or...
It may seem that way right now because we don't have a medication that we can give you, but we are, our research team is doing so much, and we are very confident that within the next few years there will be more hope and more options than what is on the market now. So at this time, I would say yes, it looks that way if you're in the moment living with it.
Right.
But from the outside looking in, we do know that there is hope coming.
Okay, we've talked about the disease and how it affects the person that has to deal with it. Now, let's talk about the caretakers of Alzheimer's patients, because that's a biggie. Now, what do you think caretakers can expect having to care for someone with this disease, and does consistency and repetition matter? Because to me, if they're, you know, even if you're consistent with the mind working the way it does with Alzheimer's, consistency wouldn't seem that important. Repetition wouldn't seem that important, because you can't really redirect a person that's, you know, can't remember from one moment to the next. So what does a caretaker do? You know, and maybe I'm wrong with my, you know, little two cents, but...
Well, for caretakers, you have to meet them where they are. You can't steer them to where you are. You have to meet them where they are. Because we have to realize that their memory is not the same as our memory. And I can't make you stop going back into your 15 minutes. I just have to go back into those 15 minutes without you. I may be able to redirect and say, you know, Mom, I'm your son, I'm your daughter. I'm here with you now. But she may want to keep talking about her son that's not there. But you still have to talk about that son, because their brains are not functioning like our brain. So as a caretaker, you have to, number one, meet them where they are, and you have to take care of yourself. You have to take a break. Sometimes you have to step away and take a break, because there are support groups that you can go to. And when you go to support groups, there are people that are going through the same thing that you're going
through.
And that's why support groups are so important, because you can't, as a caretaker, you can't do it all by yourself. I was speaking with a young man this morning in the doctor's office, and his dad has it. And he was telling me that his mom and dad lives with his sister, but the sister's not having to take care of the dad. Mom is doing all of it. And he said she needs some help. I was like, she needs a support group.
She needs, absolutely.
And if you could be the one to go watch your dad so that your mom can go visit a support group, that's an hour that you're giving your mom
mm-hmm.
so that she can take care of herself.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times, caretakers go before the people that they're taking care
Absolutely.
Of. So you have to, you know, you have to really just, you know, meet them where, you know, where they are and make sure that you are taking care of yourself.
Because sometimes people, you know, caretakers feel guilty if they take care of themselves. You know, if they leave their person for a minute or two, they start to feel guilty, like they should just always be there, and if they're not right there, something might happen.
Mm-hmm.
So they deny themselves the care,
mm-hmm.
you know, that they need.
And guilt is one of the biggest mm-hmm. feelings and emotions that caretakers feel for this disease. Because if you're having a really hard day caring for your mom, and some days it just wears you down and you can't, even though you know it's not personal, it still bothers you that your mom says she doesn't know who you are.
Absolutely.
Or she gets mad at you and wants you to leave or may call you a name. And your rational part of the brain says, okay, I know that she doesn't mean this, she's my mom, but the emotional side of you, it hurts.
The heart, that's
so
it.
Mm-hmm. Caregivers do not want to go and talk. I'm not going to want to go talk to my brother and say, well, mom's just being so difficult, I just can't handle it anymore. Mm-hmm. Because guess what the response may be? It may be, well, just be thankful that you still have her. So there's that sense of guilt, there's mm-hmm. that sense of fear to vent and appear ungrateful. So that's why when you go to a support group and these people have the same feelings and the same emotions that you do, it helps you feel normal and it validates your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you can't make it to an in-person support group, the Alzheimer's Association has an online community for caregivers.
Oh, that's
good. It's ALZ connected.org.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically a virtual support group. It's monitored by the Alzheimer's Association staff, and it's just making sure that everyone's welcome, that everyone is comfortable, and the communication is going in a healthy direction.
Mm-hmm.
And I spoke to a lady outside of Baton Rouge. She said that she cared for her mom. She really couldn't make it the hour, 30 minutes to the support group, an hour in the support group, and 30 minutes back. So when I led her to the ALZ Connected, she said, wow, that is wonderful, because I can be in a support group while I'm also watching my mother.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's really good. And my next question was going to be about the benefit of a support group, but you've covered that. And also caring for someone with Alzheimer's disease and how it affects the family members and the children. And you covered that, but would you also say that in this situation, the caretakers become pupils in this totally new reality?
Most yes. definitely. It's a learn as you go experience.
Mm-hmm.
It's like learning life all over again.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's role reversal, because whereas mom took care of me,
now
I'm taking care of mom.
Mm-hmm.
While also possibly having to take care of
children.
Young children.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and a mm-hmm. husband, and you know, so yes.
Now, I saw these two ladies, both, it's a mother and a daughter. They both have Alzheimer's or dementia. But the mother is 80 something years old, 80 or so years old, and the daughter is in her 50s. They both have Alzheimer's. But I watched the two of them together, and they have their own language.
Yes.
And I just thought that was just amazing. They understand, they're patient with each other. They'll stand and go over something 900 hours, but they're communicating. with each other, and they're happy.
That is amazing. It could possibly be, and I am no physician. This just may be my assumption from the outside looking in, is that with this disease, your short-term memory goes first, but you will still have some of your long-term memory until it progresses too far.
Mm-hmm.
It could be that they're maybe kind of somewhere in the same stages, because mm-hmm. we call it reverting back to childlike behavior. If mm-hmm. you've ever noticed, like especially a female with Alzheimer's, she may love a baby doll because her natural maternal instincts are still there.
Mm-hmm.
And playing with a baby doll can either represent as a child mm-hmm. playing with a baby doll or either a new mother. Mm-hmm. So it depends on where their memory is at. Depending on what stages, and they could be kind of reliving the same stage in their life. And that may be where the communication comes from. And nonverbal communication is so amazing with this disease
mm-hmm.
because sometimes it's the nonverbal communication mm-hmm. that will be the most giving.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. My. This is something. and I know that this is a very broad topic, and I hope people are listening and understanding and, pulling out their best basket of compassion so that when we see these people, because like you said, people don't understand a lot of the times. And, you know, and when you have to keep telling a person the same thing over and over and over again, you get tired of doing that. But when you understand that this is a disease, that these people didn't ask for this, then, it can cause a person to become more patient. And if you have to tell that person the same thing over 9,000 times, do it 9,000 times.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And tell them. Because I remember my mother, she had, I think in her last day, she had a little bit of dementia. And I would tell, she would ask me something, and I would tell her, and I would say to her, I said, well, my dear, I just told you that a few minutes ago. She said, well, just tell me one more time. She said, I'm the mama, so just tell me what I asked you. So, of course, I'd do it. But, people just need to know that Alzheimer's is real. You know, it's an enemy of the mind, and it's real. And the people who have to take care of people with Alzheimer's, they need our prayers, they need our support, anything that we can do to help and to encourage them. And as caretakers, and y'all covered that too, they have to relearn how to do ordinary things mm-hmm. with their people. Now, are there any activities like exercise and, you know, things like that that can help the patient with Alzheimer's?
I know it's been said that they love music.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one thing that I've heard over and over again, that when you play music, it's like they're a totally different person
mm-hmm.
when they're listening to, you know, to music.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as activities, and they might like puzzles. I'm not 100% sure, but I know to keep the brain healthy
mm-hmm.
now, it's recommended that you do brain games,
mm-hmm.
Puzzles.
Learn something new,
reading. Those things that keep your brain stimulated and keep them active.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, what information can you give to caregivers that will help them on this roller coaster journey?
Like Heather stated, we have, number one, we have a 24/7 helpline mm-hmm. that they can call any time of the day, 24 hours.
Oh, okay.
And that number is 1-800-272-3333. 3900.
Okay.
And anytime they call it, there's someone to, you know, to help them. And then like the ALZConnect.org is also a good online resource for, you know, caregivers.
Okay.
And then we have, if any, we have all types of resources in our offices if people want to call, then, you know, that we mail out to them if they just want some, you know, information to, you know, to read.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of our education programs are also online as well. If you go to ALZ.org, it'll take you practically to the site, which has a wealth of information. Mm-hmm. But if you want to be more specific, ALZ.org/education will get you to all of our education materials. And we always recommend that education is key with this disease.
Mm-hmm.
So constantly be in communication with your physician as well as disease education, mm-hmm. and educating yourself, whether it's in person or online or through our 800 helpline. They can help with disease education, crisis mm-hmm. intervention, anything that you need. But it's like they say on an airplane, if the plane's going down, you have to put your own air mask, your oxygen mask on before you can help someone else put theirs on. So staying, making sure that you're taking care of yourself, you're making your doctor's appointments, you're having a little bit of time to yourself, you're challenging yourself and feeling like you have a support system, that is going to also help you with this journey. Mm-hmm. Just as much as the education and the support, there's things that need to be done for the caretaker as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So what is the most positive side to this disease, or is there a positive side?
Well, I guess it depends on how you look at it. As a caregiver, you have to meet them where they are. That's probably the most positive
mm-hmm.
thing, is we have to meet them where they are. We can't alter their thinking. To think like we understand like we do,
mm-hmm.
but we have to meet them where they are, because they have that's a bad brain disease that no one wants to have, or to you develop Alzheimer's. You don't want that, but just meeting our loved ones, you know, where they are.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best and most positive way and outlook that we could have with
mm-hmm.
Alzheimer's disease.
Mm-hmm. And also with this disease, you know, we don't know how many people are being mistreated because they have this disease.
Oh, yes.
And their caretakers don't really care anything about them, you know, and that's one of the downsides. But, you know, and that's something that we really can't do anything about because we don't know, but we do know it exists.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people, they want the money that's
mm-hmm.
going to come in for
mm-hmm.
taking care of somebody.
Mm-hmm.
They want their things. But for them, there is a day of reckoning. But it's just horrible for a person who can't care for themselves to be at the mercy
of
another
else.
Human being.
And that's where the family and friends really come in with this. If my mom has Alzheimer's, I'm not just going to put her in a nursing home and go check on her one day a week.
Right.
And that's where we have to also hold ourselves liable for that. I know it's so easy to talk about how caretakers may not really care, or they may not understand the disease. And when you look at that, that can come from kind of being overworked in the healthcare industry. I know, as even with you working in healthcare, you can probably attest to the need for healthcare. We're not able to meet the demand at the time. So nurses and caretakers do have a very, very stressful job, and they
mm-hmm.
have time constraints. So that also falls back on us. As much as we would love to just blame a healthcare worker, if I'm only going to visit my mom once or twice, you know, a month,
mm-hmm.
and something is going on, that also falls back on me.
Mm-hmm.
So I know there's a point whenever a family member or friend may get tired of being the caregiver, and they may say, I can't do this anymore. Let me just put them somewhere and let someone else handle this. And a lot of times that feeling or that emotion will come from burnout,
mm-hmm.
where you were the sole caregiver for way too long beyond what you could commit to. So it comes with knowing yourself and knowing when you have to ask for help or when you need to seek help, and doing it in a healthy manner. Mm-hmm. And then also being present. You can't just put someone in a home and not be present.
Absolutely.
So that's also on us to, if we have a, if we see a red flag or we kind of think something's up, follow it through.
That's it.
Don't wait till it's staring you in the